Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So now the Chiefs have to overcome a holding penalty. They have second and 19, but at the Cleveland 20. 6-3 Kansas City. Bell stays in at running back. Twist by the Browns up front. Slant. Cut Kelsey at the 10. 5 angling left. Dodge into the end zone. Touchdown! Kansas City. Travis Kelsey, his 7th postseason touchdown grab. That ties an all-time NFL record with Vernon Davis and Dave Casper. A brilliant catch and run by the best tight end in the league.
Mitch Holthus, 106.5 The Wolf and the Chiefs Radio Network. Playoff coverage brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. That made it 13-3. Kelsey with the touchdown grab. Oh, boy, I wanted to see more of them trying to guard Kelsey with a corner.
Yeah.
That was really fun, for a play there.
Good Lord. Good Lord. Travis Kelsey quietly had over 100 yards and a touchdown in that game yesterday, right? Did he have 109 yards receiving or something like that? I think when it was all told. I mean, that was a quiet 100-yard game and a touchdown
for Travis Kelsey. 109,
yeah,
and a touchdown. Tyreek Hill, 8 catches, 110.
You look at those numbers after the game.
Dave Casper reference.
Yeah, you'll get those every day.
Yeah. His nickname was The Ghost, by the way.
Really? How did they come up with that?
I don't know.
Was he friendly, too?
There's certain people who are just gifted with coming up with names for people. That's
better than the mattress, you know?
Who was that?
Well, Casper's a mattress.
Two things
I know Casper. Yeah. Casper's a mattress and a ghost.
What?
So between those two,
that's
I'd take the ghost.
You could order your mattress in a box, and then you blow it up, and it comes, and it's supposed to be a great mattress for you. Yeah. Did you ever try to blow up a mattress?
Yeah. Get a headache.
You know how many times Travis Kelsey has made 8 receptions this year?
All of them?
8.
Yeah, oh, 8. Yeah. 8 for 10-something is pretty much his.
It's pretty much his line.
He was 8 for 136.
8 different games this year. He's had 8 receptions. He's also had 9 and 10.
Wasn't that back-to-back 8 for 136 games?
There was back-to-back. Yes, absolutely. No, it just seems
there
like
that. There was a 5-week stretch when Travis Kelsey had 8 catches.
All right.
I just kind of looked at the numbers after the game. I'm like, wow, he had 100-plus yards receiving and a touchdown. It didn't feel like that. That's how good he has become, where he just does stuff and you just like, hey, whatever, 100-yard game, that's expected out of the tight end. He's become so just reliable this year and better this year than he's ever been before. And that was one hell of a performance by him and that Chiefs offense once Chad Henne came in yesterday.
You wanted to point something out involving, I guess, really the Andy Reid era.
Yeah.
And the another point of reference for our children.
Right. And you pointed that out when I shared this stat with you, and we'll get to that in just 1 second because I think it's pretty funny. But, I mean, you know, I ask you this question rhetorically, but also semi-seriously as well. Are we giving Andy Reid enough love? I mean, that because there are times where I think, yeah, we give Andy Reid all the love in the world. And then you see something like this, and it makes you wonder, is Andy Reid getting enough credit? Do you realize, and I don't know that I thought about this, but I saw the stat, you know, this morning or whatever, the Chiefs have not played a road playoff game since the 2015 season, and they've been in the playoffs every single year since 2014. They've not had to go on the road for a postseason game since 2015. Their last road game, of course, was loss up in New England. I texted Brad G, PR maven over at the Chiefs this morning. I'm hoping he can find out this number. What's the record for most consecutive years without having to play a road playoff game? Because I like to think five. I mean, that's a long time, right? I mean, that's 5 years. New England went on the road. They had to go to Denver and Indianapolis and places like that. They weren't the consensus number one every single year during the Bill Belichick, who made his money because of Tom Brady, we're finding out now. You know,
they're firmly in that camp.
100%. 100%. They had to go on the road, you know, numerous times in the postseason, but they have not played a road playoff game since January of 2016. And they've been in the playoffs in 2016 and 2017 and 2018 and 2019 and 2020. Five consecutive seasons without going on the road. Now, yes, did they lose some of those games at home? No question about it. But they still, that's how good Andy Reid has been with this organization, where he has put them in a position where they don't have to leave Arrowhead Stadium in the month of January. And to do that consistently is one of the more impressive things right now, in my opinion, on this resume of Andy Reid. That goes on and on and on and on. There's always something seemingly every day that makes you go, are we giving this guy enough credit? Maybe we're not giving Andy Reid enough credit for what he's done.
And again, he's led them now to the first time in NFL history. The AFC Championship game will be held the same stadium for three straight years.
Right. Never
it's
happened
only
before.
Happened one other time. That was in the NFC. Oh, Andy Reid's Eagles.
Correct. Right. It's never happened
he's
in the AFC.
He's the only coach to have hosted three straight conference championship games.
Right. Tom Brady never did that when he was New England's coach.
Nuts.
Like it's insane. It's absolutely insane.
And then I was thinking, like, this is equates to like the Royals and our children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember there was 14 and then there was 15, and then the kids were like, well, who are the Royals going to play in the World Series this year? It was
correct.
Like it was like they thought the Royals were in the World Series every single year. It was like kind of the deal.
Right.
Now it's the same thing. Like they don't know that the Chiefs play on the road.
Right. They don't. There's no road
like
playoff
your kid,
games.
Your kids are not going to know the Chiefs play on the road in the playoffs. Like every game's at Arrowhead.
Right.
Like every game's at Arrowhead. And oh, they get the Super Bowl then too. Yeah, they win those. It's just funny to think of. Because we were discussing it in the booth yesterday, and our producer on the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel,
and of course Josh is the sideline reporter for the Chiefs,
was discussing. He's like, it's just amazing to think that all these games are at home. He's like, I remember, you know, the first home playoff game was at Arrowhead was like 91.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what? Is that right? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I said, but Arrowhead opened in like the 70s,
early
he's
70s.
He's like, oh, yeah, it took 20 years to get a home game. And I'm like, oh, that's right.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing to think that it took so long after the stadium was open to get a home game, uh-huh. And now you just expect them to be all home games.
Right. Now you just expect it to be there. I mean, and that win yesterday was significant on many levels because Andy Reid now has 16 postseason wins. That's tied for fifth all time. Only Joe Gibbs, Don Shula, Tom Landry, and Tom Brady have more career postseason wins as a head coach than what Andy Reid does in the postseason. And with that win yesterday, Andy Reid picks up his sixth win as the Chiefs coach in the playoffs. That's the most all time. Andy Reid has more playoff wins than Hank Stram, than Marty Schottenheimer, than Dick Vermeil, than like all of these. Like we're not talking about a litany of bad coaches that has rolled through Kansas City, right? We're talking about some Hall of Fame coaches that are on that resume. And Andy Reid now sits at the top of the all-time wins list when it comes to the playoffs for Kansas City Chiefs head football coaches. I mean, it's remarkable what he has done in really a short period of time. I mean, 8 years he's been here to Kansas City. They've made the playoffs every year but one, and they haven't gone on the road since the last time the Royals won the World Series.
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable what he did.
Oh, by the way, another home game Sunday, 5:40 the kickoff on 106.5 The Wolf, Chiefs and Buffalo Bills for the AFC Championship. He was at Arrowhead yesterday banging the drum. We get the bird's eye view from former Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. He's a four-time Pro Bowler.
He's in trouble. Down he goes at the 12-yard line. Derek Johnson came through the middle.
The most games ever played by a defensive player in Chiefs history.
The pass intercepted by Derek Johnson. He's got the open field, gets a couple blocks. DJ going right. He's at the 25, 20, 15. He's at the 10, and he's taking a jet with him all the way to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And the the Chiefs' all-time leader in tackles with 941.
Carr moves right, screen pass, boom! Derrick Johnson!
Here's Derrick Johnson.
It is DJ each and every Monday at 7:30, brought to you by the Uppercut KC, voted number one best burger in Kansas City. DJ, I just checked the playtime percentage. I was hoping you got your 10 plays in yesterday, but I don't think you did.
Oh, I did it. But I tell you what, the Chiefs didn't need me, even with the superstar going down late in the game. I tell you what, man, they just find a way to win the game, regardless of how the game goes.
How deflating can that be to see Patrick Mahomes or somebody like that go down? Like, how do you not get deflated on the sidelines?
You know what? I think the air out of the stadium went out, especially when they saw Pat start stumbling, and it was heartbreaking. You know that, because you know a guy like that put so much work into to the game and to accomplish everything he's accomplished this early in his career. For him in a crucial game like this to get up staggering, we were like, oh no, you know, everybody's like, oh no. But I tell you what, it's always about next man up. That's just being a professional and having the right guy to do that, because it could have crashed and burned, honestly, during that time, and we could have lost a lot of momentum. My hat's off to Henny, man. My hat's off to Henny. You know, I guess Pat Mahomes tweeted out, hey, anything is possible. It is true.
Well, I mean, as a backup at a linebacker or a corner, you know, it's still, you know, not your starter. But when it happens at that quarterback position and you have to replace a guy like that at that quarterback position, I mean, did you think that Chad Henne was going to be able to pull that one out of the fire?
You know, I think it's hard to do that. I think it's hard for anybody because, you know, he plays Baker all week. You know, he's a scout team quarterback. So, of course, he's in the rooms with Pat Mahomes and making sure that, you know, having his input on the game plan and all that. And he has to be ready because he has to multitask and he has to be, two people throughout the week. But what a great example of being ready. Being called. I mean, even if it's one snap or a quarter and a half, and I tell you what, that was the best quarter and a half he could have played, even though he threw that one interception. But I tell you what, he didn't blink. He came back. Andy believed in him. The team believed in him. And the Chiefs are on. Still on the running back tour.
You know, DJ, you were on that team, obviously, that blew that lead to the Colts. That game also, you guys lost Jamal Charles, though, in that game, and you guys didn't seem like you were able to recover. This team loses Patrick Mahomes and continues on, and Andy Reid is still the same coach. Like, what was it like that day on the sidelines in Indy versus, like, maybe what you saw yesterday?
Yeah, you know what? It's just a great example of just a team just being even more of a complete team. Now, we had pretty good teams when I was with Andy, but this is just a more complete team. They've had more success, their just confidence is higher. I mean, I've been with Andy twice in the playoffs and lost. We had a 38-point lead or 28-point lead, something like that, and to a Colts back in 2013, and then the Titans in 2017, 21-3 during halftime. But I tell you what, man, the Chiefs just find a way to win, regardless of how it is. Now, we want them to beat them, you know, we wanted them to knock them out. I thought it was going to go that way because it was 19-3. I'm like, okay, here it goes. This is what's supposed to happen, and it didn't quite happen. But it doesn't bother me a bit that the Chiefs are not blowing out teams. Just win the game. It's all about winning, and they find a way to do it in any kind of way, from defensively to special teams to offense. And this time, it had a new quarterback at offense. I didn't draw that up at all, but I didn't think they would snap the ball, and the Browns was not ready for that.
Former Chiefs linebacker Derrick Johnson joining us. Defensively, DJ, I thought, well, one, the stop to get the Chiefs the ball back with 4 minutes to play, fantastic. But again, 17 points in a playoff game. I'll take it every day of the week.
Oh, any day of the week. Any day of the week. You know what? Hats off to the defense again. I mean, you talk about playing a Browns team that can run the ball. I mean, and we outrushed them with our, you know, second, third string running back, who did a great job, by the way. Williams did a great job. But I tell you what, it's just it's all about the culture and the scheme that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy's been installing throughout the whole year. And for them to have success running the ball like they did, my hat's off to them. And just the possession, let me say this, the possession before Chad Henne had his couple plays that won, they sealed the game. The defense did a great job by getting Baker and that offense off the field quickly. And that energy was up, and they needed to do that. Chris Jones was a big, big part of that.
Talk with Derek Johnson here on 610 Sports Radio. Joins us every Monday at 7:30 during the football season. And you mentioned outrushing the Browns. And, you know, Josh and I have sat here for years now, and given the opposing coach the way to beat the Chiefs, it's like, run the football.
Stop doing that, I know.
Nobody listens. Like, were you surprised, as we all were, that the first half they had just six rushes for Cleveland? Like, they got out of their game plan fast.
Yeah, they did. They did. And you go into the game plan saying, hey, guys, what do we do? And they run the ball better than anybody, better than Chiefs, better than anybody in the league. And you want them to stick with that. But I think they actually got too far ahead of themselves, because Pat Mahomes is a guy that was kind of lighting them up a little bit, you know. And for him to light them up, you kind of want Baker to kind of do the same thing. And Baker isn't Pat. And they got out of the game plan, and it's just 19-3. Was the score. They should have just kept, you know, running the ball and, you know, tried to win that way to keep the game close, but they didn't, and it got out of hand in the first half.
We're watching the play over and over from the first half. Rashard Higgins is going towards the end zone, and obviously there was a missed coverage that had him open to catch the pass, but Dan Sorensen just comes flying over there and prevents him from waltzing into the end zone, and ultimately ends up being a fumble out of the end zone. That's just, to me, DJ, one of those, again, heads-up plays. If you let him score, it's a vastly different ball game. But just trying to make a play ends up in a really good situation for the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, probably one of the biggest plays in the game. I know that that last play is the biggest game and biggest play, with the rollout to pass the pass Tyreek Hill to win the game. But I tell you what, probably one of the biggest momentum swings in the game. You give the ball back to the Chiefs on the 20-yard line, touchback, and you take off 7 points for them, because that's a touchdown. That was a touchdown. That was a busted coverage. And usually defenses say, oh, man, we messed up. You know, they trying to jog over there and say, all right, hey, y'all got us on this play. But I tell you what, not Dirty Dan. You know, he's a guy that's he's a veteran player that works hard all the time. Not always perfect, but I tell you what, you can be dominant. You don't have to be perfect to be dominant. And I tell you what, he's a dominant safety in this league, and making his presence known by just working hard. I mean, for him to go over there and contest that reach out and hit that guy as hard as he did, and I mean, the ball went flying. I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, that's a touchback. Wow, that's a big play. So hats off to Dan.
What did you think of the play call on that fourth down and one, though, to ice the game, man? That's like stones the size of I don't know what on Andy Reid to go out there and call that play with a backup quarterback in that situation.
Yeah, I didn't think he would snap the ball when they came out. I'm like, oh my goodness, they're coming out, and I thought they were going to be in, you know, eye formation, some kind of, you know, goal line set, and he's in shotgun. I'm like, oh, so they're not going to, I'm thinking, oh, they're not going to, you know, snap the ball. There's no way. And they started motioning, trying to draw him offside. They start going down with the clock. I'm like, oh my goodness, I think they're going to snap it. And then he did his hands. I'm like, oh my goodness, they're snapping it. And then, I mean, perfect play call, though. They wasn't ready for it, but who do you put the game hands in the game of? And that would be Tyreek Hill, and he sealed it for him. It was a great gutsy call by Andy Reid.
So when you're on defense in a situation like that, are you in that same type of mindset where you're on the field and you don't think they're going to go for it? Like, did that whole thing like lull the defense to sleep, making them think they weren't going to do it, and then maybe caught them off guard?
Yeah, exactly. And if I was out there, I would keep saying, telling them, guys, do not jump off sides. Do not, you know, do not jump off sides. You know, earmuffs. That's what we tell them, you know, on downs like that. Not saying you're not ready to go. You still got to cover your guys, but you're not thinking about, oh, if they roll out this way, scheme-wise, you know, what kind of form. It's nothing like that. It's just, hey, guys, earmuffs, do not jump, do not jump. And they snap the ball, you're like, oh, my goodness. You know, and when you're a step behind Tyreek, you're, you know, it's pretty much over, and they steal the game.
Yeah, that's great insight, DJ, because I never really thought of it from that perspective. Like, the defense also doesn't think you're going to snap it, so maybe they've, instead of being at a 10, maybe they've dialed it back to a 5, and then all of a sudden the ball is snapped. You're like, oh, crap! And it's kind of like, no! You know, that slow motion type of run, you know, like the Million Dollar Man, the like, and you're trying to catch up to a guy who's fast in normal time, and you're already like 5 steps behind. So I never really thought it from that perspective. That's a pretty cool way to look at it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's just Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, just scheme wise, man, they're the best in the league. They're the best in the league, and regardless of who's at quarterback, of course, we want our guy at quarterback. But I'm just saying, just the culture of this team, situational football, they do not blink when it comes to adversity throughout the game. And I don't know when the last time they blew out a team, but it's been a while. And I tell you what, I don't care if they blow out another team, just keep winning.
Derek Johnson banged the drum at Arrowhead yesterday. Going to be back for next week?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait.
And you won't be driving your wife crazy by rewinding the game if you're there in person. Right? She probably appreciates the live ones. DJ, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, take it easy.
That's former Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson joins us each and every Monday, brought to you by Uppercut KC, voted number one best burger in Kansas City. I tweeted out before the game, just let your boy get about 10 plays today.
Yeah.
Nah, just dreaming a little bit. Let's start fast, man. But yeah. It was kind of fired. He was fired up for the game too.
No, God, yeah. It's fun talking to some of the old guys that and DJ's not like an old guy, but retired guy right now. And like the just retired, like, man, they're like looking at this going, man, if I just could have played a little bit later, could have been part of all of this.
We'll chat with Chiefs color analyst Danny Hughes coming up at 8:30. He was like chomping to get on the field yesterday.
He is the leading punt returner in Chiefs history in the playoffs.
And then it's true. We'll talk to him about that. But then the late injury thing, like Remmers was ill and questionable, and Dana was all like, man, good, it's the playoffs, man. Get up there.
Yeah, get out there and play.
You could just tell the former player, and it was out like, let's do this thing. So, yeah, those energies never fade from the former players.
No.
Dirty Dan wasn't dirty, just game-saving Dan. Next.
Oh, my goodness. I think they're going to snap it.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
It's caught wide open at the 5. It's Higgins. He fumbles into the end zone. Let's see what they're going to call. It's a touchback. He fumbled into the end zone and out of the end zone. Kevin Stefanski shakes his head. Mayfield threw a strike. Higgins caught it in his attempt to get into the end zone. The ball spit out. We'll see if he's down at all. As he reaches the ball out, he got hit. The ball went over the pylon, rolled through the end zone. Sorensen hit him at the 1-yard line, and then it went out of the end zone. Oh, my goodness. Kansas City gets the ball back. Unbelievable.
That was the Browns call yesterday of the Mr. Higgins fumble. The fumble into the end zone, which results in a touchback. Dan Sorensen could have just let him waltz in the end zone, but even though it was a busted play, he went over to get Mr. Higgins.
That's right, Mr. Higgins.
And able to help jar the ball loose.
Mr. Higgins.
It's fumbled into
the
end zone.
See the same Mr. Higgins that saw OJ?
I believe so, yeah. He saw Dan Sorensen coming, and he was very scared.
Yeah.
And the fumble into the end zone ends up being a massive, massive play in this game.
Right.
And baba booey to y'all.
It's true. I, for one, hate the rule.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about that today, Josh.
Love the result.
I don't even want to talk about that rule.
Love
today.
The result. I do hate the rule.
I mean, I feel like we could just start the conversation here.
I got to be honest, I think the rule is just fine.
What did you expect him to do there? Just let him score?
Yeah.
Like, give me the alternative. I'm willing to listen and I'm willing to have this conversation, but give me an alternative that doesn't include just let him score.
Oh, you hate, you're talking about the potential helmet to helmet. You're talking about the fumble out of the back of the end zone being a reward, basically, to Kansas City. And I heard them debating it this morning on our sister station, WGR, up in Buffalo, like what they should do. And actually, the one host had a really good idea. He goes, if you fumble it into the end zone like that, it goes out of bounds. Instead of giving it to the defensive team, who really didn't do anything to get the ball back because they didn't recover it, he said, what you ought to do is if it happens again, the offense keeps the ball, but they have to go back to the 20-yard
line. Yeah, that's
line.
What I'm thinking. That's what I've always liked.
I could live with that.
That you don't get the score, but you don't get a turnover. I mean, it's a massive turnover. Momentum difference. And, you know, any other time the fumble is fumbled,
right?
It's just if it's not recovered and goes out of bounds, you know, sometimes you'll bring it back to the spot of the fumble.
Sure, that's usually where it goes.
Ended up.
Yeah, right. Because you can't advance a fumble on offense.
Right.
If the ball's fumbled at the 10-yard line and it goes out of bounds at the 7, it goes back to the 10-yard
right.
line.
But I don't really want to give it to him at the 1 because right. you did fumble it. There should right. be some kind of penalty. I don't think it's necessarily a turnover. I'd put it back at the 20. I think that makes total sense. But
right.
anyway, that's for for Kevin Stefanski to waste his time in a rules meeting in the offseason,
and like, you know that'll
like
be
Sean
coming
Payton
up.
Did yeah. with the
Sean Payton ought to worry about winning games in regulation
with the pass interference stuff that he wasted his time on for that 1 year, and then had all the officials
not call the penalty
yeah. for a year. So if you want to waste your time like going and trying to get that resolved, go for it, because I think it is a bad rule, but it benefited the Chiefs. And then I will credit massively Dan Sorensen for not. It was a busted play. Could have just let him go into the end zone, and he didn't let it happen.
Right.
Ran over there, tried to go make a play, even though it looked like it was going to be a touchdown. By getting over there, you forced a really good thing to happen for you.
You did. And I said it during the week last week. I said, we are going to be talking about Daniel Sorensen when this game is over. I mean, Daniel Sorensen is the type of guy that makes plays in the postseason. I mean, every year it seems like Dan Sorensen is doing something in the playoffs and coming up with a big-time play. And that was a big-time play yesterday. And you know, I'm sure there will be a lot of debate over whether or not that was a helmet-to-helmet situation. I looked at it. I go, what else is he supposed to do? He's diving and trying to knock the guy out of bounds. And I thought he did a pretty good job too. When you watch the replay, I mean, he does try to dip that shoulder in there and kind of go perpendicular to him as to not give the helmet, but I think at that point in time, it's almost inevitable, and not because we're Chiefs fans, but I'm glad the officials, you know, swallowed the whistle and swallowed the flag on that and didn't toss a flag on a helmet to helmet, because I think that was just one hell of a play that was made by Daniel Sorensen to get over there. And as Derek Johnson told us exclusively, that was a busted cover play, and the job of a safety, it's in the name, it's the safety, you know, you gotta be the last line of defense. He's the safety on that play. He comes over and makes a game-changing play, and probably a season-changing play as well. I mean, we've talked so much about Andy Reid and the play calls that he made and the moves that, you know, Chad Henne did on the last two plays of the game. Daniel Sorensen doesn't make that play, we're probably in a different spot right now, and we're talking about a loss yesterday, and we're blaming Harrison Butker for leaving 4 points on the field. So that play by Dan Sorensen was a major, major play and a major turning point in this football game. And as far as the rule out of the back of the end zone, that's not one of those that I lose sleep over. It doesn't happen all that much, you know, in an NFL game. When it does happen, it makes you go, wow, that really is a strange rule that they have. And then it happens in a playoff game, and it really turns the tide.
But that's how rules get changed, you realize.
True. Oh, God,
it only has to happen one time in a playoff game for a rule to be changed.
That happens in week 4. Nobody's talking about that, right? But that happens in the playoffs where everybody's watching. And, you know, Cleveland can call that the pylon game now if they wanted to. But, again, look, Baker Mayfield had opportunities. And one of the things we talked about last week was, do you trust Baker Mayfield? Is he a quarterback that you can trust you to win a game? He had every opportunity to go out there and win a football game and manage 17 points. So, I mean, you know, one play, yes, it does have an impact on the game. But I think if the Browns are complaining about that play today and the fans are upset about that play today, they left a lot of other plays on the field, and the Chiefs defense did a nice job of stepping up and holding them to 17 points.
It just happened to be the like anniversary of the Ernest Biner fumble into the end zone where they lost the playoff game by 5.
But other than that.
Oh, is it the anniversary of
other,
that?
Other than that, they shouldn't feel like scoring or anything.
Was it the same day?
I think it was the same day.
That explains why Ernest was so short with me this past week.
You've got to be kidding.
Now,
same
granted,
day.
That was going in for the win.
Right.
This was second quarter. Yeah. You know, so a little bit different. But, yeah.
Not a good day for fumble.
Yeah, so if you're a scoring Browns fan, just chuck one more up to your list. Cross one more coaching job off the list, or in fact two today, I guess. Two guys you never heard of getting jobs in the NFL today. The Lions, I guess, are going to hire not Matt Campbell, but Doug. Is that right?
Dan Campbell.
I'm sorry, Dan Campbell.
Heir to the soup, throne, right?
Yes, yes.
See the one Campbell that designed family. The chunky line.
He did. Yes. Yeah,
that was a big change for
Campbell. Big change.
Up until that point, they were tomato and chicken noodle.
And it was condensed.
Saints, so now he's available. And then the Chargers are hiring Brandon Staley, the Rams defensive coordinator.
Deuce?
Who, according to Ian Rappaport, the Chargers' top choice all along.
Oh. Well, he was right there in L.A. They saw
Brandon Staley put his resume on the field all season. Now Staley stays in L.A., and may not even have to move, which I think was a benefit to the Chargers.
It was. They saved money on moving.
That didn't have to pay moving expenses.
Yep.
I think that's what it came down to.
Temporary housing.
That's what it came down to.
Yeah. Making sure the wife likes the area. All that's taken care of.
So two more jobs are off the list when it comes to Eric Bieniemy, which, again, this still is very, very strange to me.
How old is this Brandon Staley guy? He looks like he's like
12.
Well, he's on McVay's staff, so they're all like, you know, 18 and to 25, I think, aren't they?
Right.
So CBS wrote a piece about the hiring process yesterday. And one of the things, you know, because I don't know about you, I keep getting the questions like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Like last year, there were some rumblings. He didn't interview very well. This year, you haven't heard that. And he couldn't possibly have interviewed badly for everybody. I mean, he interviewed for a bunch of stuff. You hear him speak, Eric Bieniemy, every week, and you'd run through a wall for him. I don't understand how this. So anyway, CBS talked to his agent, Eric Bieniemy's agent, and said the feedback from teams was Bieniemy was overwhelmingly positive and that his performance in the interviews earned high marks. His agent said they did mock interviews as well with former NFL executives and others to get Bieniemy ready. And Andy Reid continued to champion the former NFL running back for all head coaching jobs, serving as his strongest advocate.
Mm-hmm.
So all the Eric Bieniemy's not good in interviews?
Debunked by his agent.
Oh, I mean, his agent's...
So they're just not hiring him. This is not right. That's not right. He should have a head coaching.
How many teams have now passed on Eric Bieniemy? All of them? I mean, because he's been... It seems like he's
several
been
times,
through the interview. Like, the Jets have passed twice on this guy now. Twice they've passed on him.
And now you can't wait another essentially week.
Well, you got to get Dan Campbell. I mean, that's
to get a second interview. Because I think he can interview during the thing, and they probably can't hire him until after the Super Bowl. Right. But you don't have to wait that long.
And again, the last two spots that are open right now, are you going to Houston now? Like in September, you were definitely going to Houston. That looked like a good spot. Now that looks like the worst place on earth.
Yeah, not if it's the reports are the quarterback now wants out.
Right. Like he's going to get traded. I ain't going there. And
it's not, and you don't even have draft picks.
Right.
And now you don't have a quarterback. Draft picks or no quarterback.
Right. They're going to hire somebody that just wants the job.
Right. And did you see the Philadelphia story that came out over the weekend about Carson Wentz and what a clown this guy is, not listening to coaches, being defiant, only wants coaches to tell him what he wants to hear. If I'm Eric Bieniemy, I ain't taking that job either.
Yeah,
you chose the quarterback.
Eric Bieniemy is going to tell you what you are.
Yeah.
So. Be careful.
Right. So he's to me, not a fit in Philly after reading about Carson Wentz being for a guy who's accomplished nothing, sit back down and listen to your coaches, young man. I mean, like, it's time to start listening to the adults in the room. And so if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to tell Carson Wentz he's not very good and he's not going to listen to me and you're saddling me with this quarterback. I ain't in on that one either. In Houston, you can take the job and shove it because I am not going down there without Deshaun Watson.
This Brandon Staley guy's 38. He's the same age as me.
Yeah, well.
Is this what, like, he looks very young. Is that what happens when you, like, I don't know, take care of yourself?
It is, yeah.
I feel so weathered now just looking at a picture of this guy.
The coach says there was no doubt in his mind. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.